Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Glory may be glorified by means of it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. My cousin was having a really bad day. She was having problems at work. She was having problems with patients. And she was feeling lonely. She prayed the prayer that she'd prayed many a times to God. God, please take away my problems, and if you can't do that, send me someone who will help me share my problems. Is there anyone here who's had a hard time waiting? You don't like waiting for dinner. You don't like waiting for work to end or for school to end. Nancy Huber told me that Frank Huber doesn't like waiting for the sermon to end. Today I want to talk about how do we deal with it when God seems late. How do we deal with it when God seems late? We're at the end of a series where we've been talking about trusting God when God doesn't make sense. And we said from the very beginning that God is reasonable, and God never asks us to do something that doesn't make sense from God's perspective. But God doesn't always let us in on his perspective. And so sometimes we're left with a question. And the question that we ask is, why didn't God do something about it? Why didn't God do something about it? I don't know what the it is in your life. For some of you, it might be a financial challenge, it might be a job, it might be a medical situation, or you might be sitting next to it right now. It might be a spouse, or you might have given birth to it, and you're wondering, God, why didn't you do something about them? I don't know, maybe they need a healing, maybe they need some encouragement, maybe they need something, and you know that God has done it for others. You know that God is able, you asked, and yet God has not yet delivered, and so we're left waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting. And here's one of the things that I want to emphasize today. With God, a waiting season is never a wasted season. Can you say that with me? With God, a waiting season is never a wasted season. Perhaps a perfect example of this is in our scripture lesson from the Gospel of John. It's a story of two sisters. One's name is Martha, and the other one is what? Mary. And they've got a brother, and their brother's name is what? Lazarus, all right? And Mary and Martha are really close with Jesus. There's a story about Jesus coming over to their house and just relaxing and eating. And so when Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus got sick, they completely expected that Jesus would do what? Come right away. Jesus is going to do the same thing for Lazarus that he's been doing all over town. He's been healing people left and right, right? Jesus even heals the Roman soldier's daughter. Wait a minute. I know that Jesus is going to come. I got no doubt about it that he's going to come. He'll be right here. So certainly Jesus will do the same thing for Lazarus that he's done for everyone else. And yet, sometimes God doesn't always make sense from our perspective. Here's what the scripture says. It says, now a certain man named was ill, named Lazarus of Bethany, in the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, being Jesus, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. They didn't even have to tell Jesus his name, right? Jesus, it's like your best friend is sick. Jesus, we're your people. Jesus, you know us. And so they wait. And they wait, and Jesus doesn't show up. And the next day they say, well, I know he's coming. He'll be here by lunchtime. You just wait and see. Oh, there he is. No, that's the mailman. But he's coming. Jesus is coming. The next day, he's coming. Lazarus, just hang on. Don't give up the faith. He's coming. Have faith and believe in him. I don't know, but maybe they start to do what we sometimes do. We start to give all the reasons why God should help us. Lazarus, Jesus is coming. You're a good person. He's going to heal you. Remember how many of his sermons you went to? He's coming. He's going to heal you. Remember how he ate at our house and we didn't even ask him to do the dishes and we gave him seconds and, oh, he's coming for you, Lazarus. We got to remember, with God, a waiting season is not a wasted season. And for those of us who are in the same position as Mary and Martha and Lazarus, what we need to do is to remember two things. The first one is this: God's delays aren't necessarily God's denials. God's delays aren't necessarily God's denials. Just because God hasn't done it yet doesn't mean that God's not going to do something. I saw this picture and I liked it. It said, Joseph waited 13 years. From the time he was thrown into that pit and then went through all of the things at Potiphar's house and then in the jail before he was released and put in charge of Egypt, 13 years. Abraham waited 25 years from the time when he'd received the promise until Isaac was born. Moses waited what? 40 years from the burning bush until the time when he was able to just look over and see the promised land. If God is making you wait, you're in good company. God's delays aren't necessarily God's denials, and just because God hasn't answered your prayer now, it doesn't mean that he's not going to answer your prayer. And in fact, Jesus already knew all about Lazarus' problem. The whole time that they're waiting, wondering where is Jesus, Jesus already knew. It says this in John 11:4. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness is not unto death. It is for the what? Glory of God. So that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it. In other words, Jesus is saying, I know exactly what's going on and I'm still in control. And when we get to the end of this story, you won't just see that there was a purpose in me waiting, but you're going to see the Son of God glorified. In other words, you're going to see me different. You know, Mary and Martha, they thought they knew Jesus, right? We're your friends, we're your buddy. Guess what? At the end of the story, you're going to see me differently. Disciples, you thought you knew me. You spent all this time with me, but guess what? By the end of the story, you're going to know me differently. Lawrence United Methodist Church, you thought you knew Jesus, but hold on. At the end of the story, we're going to see him in a whole brand new light. Sometimes I think we go through God-orchestrated delays. God-orchestrated delays. You know, sometimes you go to the symphony and the conductor will just have the music rise and rise and rise, and then he'll cut it. And it's a dramatic cut. And it's like this pregnant pause. And it has you contemplating what you just heard. And it gives you space in your mind for the music to go on in your own mind. And you're wondering, is it over? Should I begin to clap? And then right when you're thinking maybe it's over, the conductor brings the music right back. And when he brings it back after that silence, it's even more powerful than before, right? All of a sudden, you're able to hear it in a brand new light. You know what I'm talking about? Haruko, you with me? You know what I'm talking about? After that silence, when they bring the music back, it thunders. All of a sudden, you hear it in a new light. Well, in a way similar to music, I believe that sometimes God wants to do something within you before God does something for you. Can you say that with me? Sometimes God wants to do something in you before God does something for you. I have a picture of Zachary's car here. Now, this is part sermon illustration and part traffic warning. Zachary, my youngest, got his learning permit yesterday, okay? So if you see this car on the road, just pull over and pray, okay? Pull over and pray. But catch this. Before Zachary got his permit, there was a period of waiting and testing, okay? There was waiting and testing. Before the state of Indiana wants to do something for Zachary, which is give him permission, give him a permit, the state of Indiana wants something to happen inside of Zachary first. And that is they want him to gain the knowledge and to understand the seriousness of what he's getting to do. There is a period of waiting and testing. Does that make sense to you that sometimes there is something that has to happen in us before something happens for us? I'm sure if we went around this room and talked about our waiting seasons, I bet that we would find that God did a lot of things in us before God did things for us. Jimmy Cazares was in a bad motorcycle wreck. And I remember going to the hospital and being in the emergency room, and Jimmy's head's all busted up. We're praying, and the whole church is praying that God would heal him. Well, God answered that prayer, but you know what? God also taught some things to Jimmy. And there have been others of you that have been in this room, have been in the hospital beds. You've been in situations where you didn't know about the job was going to happen. You were in a situation where you thought everything was going great in a marriage, and all of a sudden there's a problem, and you're asking God, do something. And God is saying, first of all, let's have something change within you. There's some people here who've learned patience. There's someone here who's learned to trust in God. There's someone who's learned to walk by faith and not by sight. There's someone who's learned that greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. What I'm trying to say is this. Just because you're in a waiting season with God, it doesn't have to be a wasted season. God is doing something within you way before he does something for you. And we don't always recognize that. We don't always see the value in it. Time goes by and Jesus still isn't there. Mary and Martha saying, hold on, Lazarus, hold on. He's coming. Lazarus fights for his last breath and then he dies. And Mary and Martha are angry. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Jesus finally arrives, and he's not just late. He's like rudely, insultingly late. Late so much that Lazarus has not only been sick, he's died, he missed the funeral. They already put him in the tomb for 4 days. Where were you, Jesus? Not only didn't you heal him, but you didn't even come to give us comfort. Jesus, you failed us. Have you ever felt this way? Have you ever felt like God let you down? God, you could have. I've seen you do it for other people. I trusted, I believed, and yet you didn't do it. That's pain and that's real emotion. And that's what I hear when I read John 11, 20 and 21. It says this, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him while Mary did what? I better not go see him because I'm that upset. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, that's all we have, but you can get the picture. Hands on the hip, finger out. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I pulled out my old Bible that my mother gave to me when I was a kid. And I read the story on that Bible. And as I read, I noticed something interesting. In that old Bible, John 11 starts on page 73. And everything bad happens on page 73. Lazarus is sick. Lazarus dies. Mary's depressed. Martha is mad. Everything bad happens on page 73. But then when you turn the page, the whole tone of everything shifts on page 74. Martha changes and says this in verse 22. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give to you. She has an even now moment. Can you say that with me? Even now. Say it one more time. Even now. Say it with a little bit more feeling. Even now, even though I feel dead on the inside, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Some of us need an even now moment. And I believe that even when we're hurting, even when we're sad, and maybe even depressed, and when you're upset at God, that part of us has that anger. But then underneath that, our faith comes in, and we say, even now, God is still able. Even now, God is still on the throne. And so what we need to do is need to turn the page from that 73 to 74 and get some good news. I told this story last year, but bear with me as I share it again. There was an ambulance that was racing through this neighborhood. It was a page 73 moment. Someone was in need. Someone was hurting. And volunteers from our church, we were out working in the community at the Methodist house. And we were working. It just so happened in the front yard. But we turned the page. See, the week before, Dick Robinson told us at Bible study that every time he hears an ambulance, he says a prayer. So we're out there working the ambulance. We can hear it in the neighborhood. And Dick is praying, even now, Lord, whoever this ambulance is for, help him, Lord. Bring him healing. Even now, Lord, the ambulance comes right up the very street we're on, stops right in front of the Methodist house. And we're standing there just looking with rakes and stuff in our hands. And the paramedics jump out with all kinds of equipment. And they say, we're looking for a 90-year-old man named Richard. Everyone is puzzled and we're like, what's going on? Until Dick Robinson says, wait a minute, my name is Richard and I'm 90 years old. Come to find out, Dick had sat down and had accidentally alerted his life alert medallion, which was in his pocket, and the ambulance was coming for him. Even now, God was sending help on the way. Dick was praying, having no idea that the prayers were for him. And in the same way, Martha is saying, even now. She's praying, having no idea that the prayers were for her. See, she wanted Jesus to change something in her brother, but Jesus says, I'm coming to change something in you. I've come so that you can have a new way of looking at things. Martha, look, I'm not just your friend, I am your Savior. John 11, 25, Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Let me show you something, Martha. Death no longer has a final say. I'm going to die for the sins of the whole world. And when you put your faith in me, even though your physical body dies, it will not be the end. You can live with God forever because I am the resurrection and the life. And in this moment, right now, I'm going to give you something that you will have your eyes opened with. I'm going to do something that's going to change you. See, you wanted a healing, but I'm going to give you a resurrection. What Martha and Mary had planned was good, but what Jesus planned was even better. And so John 11, 43 and 44 says this. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Can you join with me that? And that when Jesus said this, he cried with a loud voice. What? Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with bandages and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. God didn't give them what they expected. He gave them something that far exceeded their expectation. God didn't come when they wanted him. He came right on time. And if you're in a waiting season, remember it's not a wasted season. Remember, God wants to do something in you much more than he wants to do something just for you. My cousin was having a real bad day. She was having problems with her work. She was having problems with patients, and she was feeling lonely. And she prayed the prayer that she'd said many times before, God, please take away my problems. And if you can't do that, send me someone to help me share my problems. She says, amen. And then on the way home from work, she gets a flat tire on the highway. God, didn't you hear my prayers? God, why? You helped other people. Why couldn't you help me? Why, God? As she's sitting in her car right off the highway in the breakdown lane, a man comes over and knocks on the window. And he says, ma'am, would you like me to change your tire? Are you waiting for your husband? And she said, I'm not married. And he asked her, well, why aren't you married? And she laughed and she said, because I haven't met Mr. Wright yet. And he said, let me introduce myself. See, God's plan is so much better than ours. Amen? Amen. Amen.